Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
You know, it's one thing when you have elective surgery. They always say any sort of surgery, you got risks involved without a doubt. And you just kind of got to weigh those risks versus the benefits of what you think this is going to be. And especially for something fairly routine like breast augmentation, which is what we're about to talk about here. You can certainly get a bad boob job, without a doubt. That does happen. And it's like, well, and then it can get very scary after that. But death? It does happen, but it's certainly rare. It happened in Colorado, but this is a death that truly could have been prevented. Have you ever gone in for a surgery, Stacey, and then had to be put under with the whatever gas they give you?
Yeah, I've had five in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Scary stuff. Yeah. You do blood work and stuff beforehand to make sure that your organs can handle anesthesia, because that can be really hard on your body. It's a scary process. I only remember, count down from 10.
I remember
and you only
five.
Get to like 8.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, I only got to 8.
Yeah.
But, and then you wake up and your throat hurts a little bit because they've had a tube down your throat, and some, mm-hmm. You're in recovery and there's a nurse, saying your name and poking at you. And that's about all I remember.
Yeah, that's pretty much mine as well. I've gone under twice and it can be scary. Luckily, come out just fine every time, but that's not always how it works. And this time, a respected Colorado plastic surgeon, Dr. Jeffrey Kim, was found guilty on attempted reckless manslaughter and obstruction of telephone service surrounding the tragic death of an 18-year-old patient, Emily Wynn. The ruling handed down this last Wednesday, coming as a significant win for those advocating for patient safety, shedding light on the heavy responsibilities physicians bear in ensuring the well-being of their patients, especially during an intricate procedure such as a plastic surgery. Emily Wynn, she was a vibrant young woman. Whole life ahead of her. She sought out Dr. Kim for breast augmentation at Colorado Aesthetic and Plastic Surgery on August 1st of 2019. As she was receiving anesthesia prior to the procedure, she fell into a coma. This is why you have an anesthesiologist. And she did have an anesthesiologist who ended up resigning and turning in his license. In an unexpected turn of events, it would alter the course of her life and ultimately end her life. Emmy never regained consciousness and passed away in a nursing home at the age of 19 in October of 2020. So she did survive for several months, but was in a coma the entire time. The unusual circumstances surrounding Emma Lynn's tragic passing drew immediate scrutiny and eventually led to charges against Dr. Kim, not least because of the timeline of events seemed to suggest a disheartening disregard for her well-being. The obstruction of telephone service charge for which Dr. Kim was found guilty was based on his failure to call 911 for 5 hours after Emma Lynn was suffering cardiac arrest.
So let me get the, I'm going to shed some light on something. I worked as an EMT for a year.
Mm-hmm.
In our district, we had a couple of surgery centers and we would get a call to come to the surgery center. And it always kind of confused me because that's full of doctors and nurses there, So why are you calling an EMT who is not a doctor? Mm-hmm. Why are you calling paramedics who are not doctors? But it's mainly, hey, we've got somebody critical here that went critical and we need to get them to the hospital. And this is the only way to do it. You don't throw them in your SUV, you put them in an ambulance.
Yeah.
So that's where that part of that comes from is they have to have some way to transport them to a critical care unit.
Well, and someone who's doing a medical procedure should be the most attuned to knowing if someone is going into cardiac arrest versus just someone sitting there. And it seems that they were, but it seems more like, can we fix this? Can we hide this so we don't destroy our practice? Well, you certainly guaranteedly destroyed your practice if you didn't take the correct action. Had they just stepped up and said, something's going wrong here. We got to get them somewhere. You know, this could have been settled in court, you know, probably privately as well, just as, you know, a very bad medical mistake or issue. Malpractice, I don't know. We'll continue going into this. Dr. Kim was acquitted with a more serious charge of negligent homicide, a development that has attracted attention and raised questions about the intersection of law and medical practice. The verdict is vindication for the family, proclaimed David Woodruff, the attorney representing Wynn's grieving family. The ruling was welcomed by the family, who view it as a measure of justice served. He had the opportunity to get her emergency medical help and stopped his entire staff from doing that.
Whoa.
Yeah. They were like, nurses were like, we should call 911. He's, nope. I think it's a reminder to the medical community that they are not above the law, Woodruff added. Emma Lynn remembered as a wonderful girl who had her whole life ahead of her, lost her life in what families and the lawyer have described as a senseless tragedy. Prosecution made a compelling case highlighting that several medical staff, including two nurses, pleaded for permission to call 911, but their requests were reportedly denied by Dr. Kim. Testifying in court, Rex Meeker, a nurse anesthetist, anesthesiologist who administered the anesthesia, asserted that he explicitly recommended Emma Lynn be sent to the hospital, citing standard operating procedures. Meeker himself was initially charged in connection with Wynn's death, but the charges were dropped. In a twist of defense strategy, Dr. Kim's attorneys argued that it was Meeker who should be held responsible for Wynn's death, alleging that it was the anesthesiologist who had administered that ultimately led to her demise. Subsequently, Meeker voluntarily surrendered his license, saying, yeah, look, we screwed up. Here's my license. Chief Deputy District Attorney Gary Dawson lambasted Kim's conduct, calling it a shocking and extreme lack of judgment and humanity. Dawson expressed the devastation that comes when trust is violated, noting that the outcome might have been different had Dr. Kim sought appropriate medical care. The defendant made decisions based on what was best for his business, not for the patient. Dawson stated, lying bare the stark reality of Wynn's tragic end. In the aftermath of Wynn's passing, a wrongful death suit was settled. Dr. Kim and Meeker both agreed to pay $1 million each, a financial resolution that does little to assuage the enduring pain of her family. Currently, Dr. Kim faces up to 3 years in prison for his actions and awaits sentencing. It's scheduled for September 8th. So, yeah, this is one of those things where looks like pride got in the way of saving someone's life when it very likely could have been saved had they stepped in early enough, but not.
Here's so. my issue with this, Tony, is and maybe this just speaks to the kind of person I am. I'm not
a horrible, not a horrible quiet, human being.
Well, right. No, but I'm not a very quiet human being. If I see something wrong, I say something. Mm-hmm. And I would have called 911. I would have said, fuck this, man.
Yep.
I know what needs to be done here for the sake of this human being. Mm-hmm. And I would have fucking called 911 on my cell phone.
Yep.
You know, screw you, doctor. I'm going to do what I think is right. And if I lose my job trying to save another person's life, well, then fuck you.
Yeah. And that's a very interesting observation. I think we very much live in a world right now where people are so much like lemmings and they don't want to break the chain of command. I mean, look at what happened at Uvalde with the school shooting. You had literally originally reported as 150 police outside. 300 some were standing outside of that school. None of them entering, and some of them trying to, while others held back and literally physically held others back, saying, no, 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 we can't do this. We can't do this. They said we can't do this. This whole, they said, the authority, the figure, the man, if you will, we blindly follow it far too often to our demise. And then we also blindly ignore it far too often to our demise. That feels like what the break in society is right now. We're doing the opposite of what we should be doing. In situations like this, pick up your fucking phone and call 911. I'm not blaming the nurses at all. They don't want to lose their jobs. And I think it's a fear-based thing as well. People don't want to end up dealing with the repercussions for breaking what they view are as the rules, especially in an emergency situation that probably most of these nurses have never, ever been in their life. So what do you do? You're going to trust the authority, especially if everything goes well for the most part. You're going to think, okay, he's got it under control. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. But there's some times where even the most experienced and trustworthy people are making the wrong decisions. And that's where sometimes you just need to go with your gut and do what you think is right. And at the end of the day, in this case, it could have been, well, maybe you didn't need to call 911 and we got her back. But certainly in this case, it would have been, thank God you called 911. You probably saved her life. Unfortunately, that did not happen.
Just makes me sick. And I, you know, you said, I'm not blaming the nurses. I am.
You are.
Because you're damn right. I'm sorry. That's you have a responsibility to care for that patient. Mm-hmm. And whether you're a doctor, a nurse, an assistant, your job is to keep that person alive. And I mean, people do die during surgery. It happens. Anesthesia doesn't mm-hmm. agree with everybody. That to me, I'm not even faulting that. It's the fact that something else needed to be done. And this doctor who was playing God stopped everybody. And not one person said, nope, this isn't sitting right with me. That bothers me.
That's a scary place to be in. I think a lot of times we go into medical situations and we trust the experts. We trust the doctors. We trust anyone who's wearing scrubs in the building, really, for yes. the most part. I have a great example here, too, of when you don't trust the people that you think you should be or something's off, do what you think is right. Go and voice it and do what you need to do. Because if I didn't, I would be dead. I had my appendix burst. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I thought I ate some bad shrimp at the Red Lobster. And I'm not even kidding. I know we were joking about Red Lobster before we went on the air, but it's literally what I thought had happened. I thought, well, I must be having like a reaction. It was really buttery and greasy. And as I get older, you know, that doesn't agree with me as much as it used to. And it was painful. And it got to the point where I'm like, oh my God, I can't even walk. It was so, so worst pain I've ever been in. So my ex at the time takes me to the emergency room. We first go to the walk-in because I didn't know what it was. I thought maybe this is horrible indigestion. I don't know. I even took a gas X and that didn't seem to help. Probably not good to do either. But I took it, got there, and I said, I'm having horrible pain. I don't know what it is. I ate some greasy food recently, but this is beyond normal. And they like, well, we got a 3-hour wait here right now. So you might just go home, you know, sleep it off. Literally. Oh. What the guy in scrubs told me, who was kind of by the front desk, because I don't know if anyone was really working the front desk that day. And I said, I'm not like, no, there's something wrong. Well, you know, the ER is down there, but that's, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going there. So I went to the ER. They got me in right away. And they started doing the scans and all that on me. It turned out my appendix had burst. I went into emergency surgery right away and, they took care of it. I was there for several days because I could have died very easily.
Oh yeah. You could go septic from that.
And it was getting close too. I had blood poisoning and all that. But it was very, you know, it was scary how close I came, without even really knowing it, going from a normal day to that. And the other part of it that was kind of scary when I was in there after they had done like this scans on me. I don't know what type of scan you do with that, but I went into a circle.
Usually
and
a CT or CT. An ultrasound.
Yeah, they did both. They did an ultrasound and a CT. And they're looking at the scan on the screen while I'm sitting in there. And then the doctor says, stop, go get the students. And I'm like, oh shit. So then the students come in, the medical students who are in residency there. They came in. And everybody's looking at this thing. Nobody's telling me what the fuck they're looking at. They're just looking at it. And they're like, oh my God, look at that. And I'm like, oh my God, like, do I have like some sort of like horrible like cancer or something that like has never been like, what are we doing? And I'm like, hi, over here. Like, what's going on?
Like, man in pain. Hello.
They're like, well, I've only seen this once in my career. And this is the surgeon speaking, who's probably in his 50s. So been around the block a little bit, experienced, I would think, and says, your appendix? I'm like, yeah, it's on the wrong side of your body. So they were looking on that and they couldn't figure out like, where is this pain coming from? And they discovered, oh, your appendix is over here. So I guess I have like organs and like weird, it's like, where's Waldo with my organs almost. So you kind of got to sit in there and look around for a little bit. And some are doing funny things and some are hiding in different places. And there's Waldo, but there's my appendix burst. And that's what was the, oh my gosh. But.
So you had pain on the wrong side. So nobody was thinking anything was a big deal because it's always supposed to be on the one side if it's your appendix.
Yep, exactly.
Wow. Yep. See, you have to be your own advocate because things aren't always as they seem.
They are not. They're certainly not. And it was a very scary moment. But I survived. And I also survived my breast augmentation as well, which I had a couple. I'm kidding. I did not have breast augmentation. But I really wanted to fill up that bikini for summer. But I decided, you know, maybe next year.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.